you know, and God continues to send more signs for the knotheads that won't listen. Okay? I'm just saying it. Some of us are we got knotheads. I've been there, I know. And God's gotten my attention in some serious ways. For example, when I had that heart attack, that was a knothead moment for me, for Mark Urich. Okay? And I'm like, okay, God, you got my attention. Yes, Lord. Now, I'm not saying he gave me the heart attack. I'm saying he allowed it to happen so he could wake me up. And so, after I spoke with Pastor Tommy yesterday on the phone, I'm driving on the way here to Hugs, and I asked the Lord, Lord, in this moment, I need a word. Because I just didn't want to dip into my library and pull out something. But God, I need something fresh from you. And the Lord reminded me what I had been meditating on earlier that moment. And how many have ever heard of Pastor Greg Lowry? Greg Lowry, man. Awesome man of God. And so I get his Twitter messages every day. And he wrote this message yesterday. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is definitely you, God. He wrote this, the writing, and by the way, open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. He wrote this, the writing was on the wall for Belshazzar. That's out of Daniel 5. We're going to go there in a moment. And I think that the writing is on the wall for all of us right now. Everybody say, right now. It's in the news. It's in the internet and social media. Everywhere we look, the writing is on the wall. We're seeing Bible prophecies fulfilled before our very eyes. And then he continued to write, the writing is on the wall. And here's what the writing is saying. Jesus Christ is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? And the Lord said to me while I'm driving in, he said, wake up! Prepare thyself. And that's the title of this message, Prepare Thyself. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm awake and I'm preparing myself. Amen. In Daniel chapter 5, the king, Belshazzar, he's basically thumbing his nose at God and mocking him, much like we see in our world and in our country today. Leaders and politicians, basically, and excuse my French, but we're talking to soldiers here today, are we not? Come on, are we not? Man, we got to toughen up, man. We're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. And if you can't see it, I pray that God shakes you and wakes you up. But the world today is just like Belshazzar. God, that's what they're doing. They're saying it, and they're not even ashamed anymore. They're not even ashamed anymore. They're saying it publicly. They're shouting it from the mountaintops, just like Belshazzar. And so we see this in our world. And so here, I love it. God decides to send Belshazzar a text message with his own hand writing on a wall. I love this. And so God will use any way he can. You know, yesterday we were at Hugs down in Detroit. And man, there were so many people. Ronnie, Dawn, thank you for what you do. And thank all you people, whether you come and just make P&J sandwiches, you know, you bring the gloves in, you do whatever. Let me tell you, you are serving the King and God's precious people out there. Thank you again. Hallelujah. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. So we're out there, and, you know, we see there's other churches out there. Man, it's so cool down in Detroit, man. It's just awesome. And this truck pulls up. It was like, I thought, is this a hit and run? What is this? Is this a drive-by? And a bunch of these people get out of this truck. And they open up the back of their pickup truck and they're pulling out these brand new big old camouflage backpacks full of goodies. And I'm thinking, wow, another church, man. They're out there serving the King. This is so awesome. And they're passing them out to all these homeless people, man. Meanwhile, the homeless people are walking out of the place like this, man. We're feeding them food. We're giving them clothes. They're getting prayed for, man. People got saved yesterday. Hallelujah. And so here comes this truck. And they pull up. And they get out of the truck. And they're running with their backpacks. And they're handing all these guys backpacks, right? And I said to them, I said, man, this is so awesome. God is really using you. And the guy says to me, I'm an atheist. And I thought, well, he's got to be joking. Man, there's a... I said, no, God's really... He goes, listen, I don't believe in God. None of us do. I'm like, well, someone asked, well, why are you doing this? Well, this is a grassroots movement, and we're just, you know, felt like we needed to help people. So I'm listening to this, and I said, you know what? God is still using you. And the guy goes, I'm an atheist. And I said, that's okay. God is using you, buddy. This is so cool. See, man, you got to turn that thing around. You know, don't let people shout you down. You know, just that's okay. God's still using you. And I told the people around me, I said, God used an ass, a donkey, right? Yeah. And he spoke to you, right? And so God can use anybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, God can use you. Amen. So here we are. He sends a text message for Belshazzar, and we pick it up in Daniel chapter 5, verse 22. All right, are you there? So here, the king, he's defiling the gold cups that were in the temple. He's defiling God. He's saying, God, these are really nice, man. I think we'll use them for our party here. See, we don't care. That's what the world's saying. He's saying that in our public schools. He's saying that in our government, the enemy. Somebody's got to have some guts to stand up to this stuff. God found a man. His name was Daniel, who didn't fear man, but he feared God. Are there any men and women here this morning that don't fear man but fear God? Come on. So God found someone, one man. Listen, one with God. Listen to this, my friends. One with God is always in the majority. You're always in the majority. If God be for you, who can be against you? And so it says here in Daniel chapter 5, verse 22. Daniel says here, you are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all of this, yet you have not humbled yourself, for you have proudly defied the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from his temple brought before you. You and your nobles and your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising God, the gods of, and we see this in our world today, praising the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor know anything at all. But you have not honored the God, listen to this, the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. Daniel's standing up to him. So God has sent this text message to you to try to wake you up and try to prepare yourself. Excuse me. This is the message that was written. It says, mean, Tekel, and Parson. This is what the words mean. Mean means numbered. God has numbered your days and your reign and has brought it to an end. Remember earlier, Greg Laurie said, the writing is on the wall. Okay? Tekel means weight. You have been weighed on the balance and have not measured up. And Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, Belshazzar, he didn't pay any attention to this. He just rewarded Daniel. He clothed him in purple robes and gold chains and hung them around his neck, and he proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. He got promoted. But look what it says in verse 30. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62 years old. Folks, look what's happening in our world today, all around us. This evil, rebellious spirit working in the hearts of men and women who pride themselves on being so highly educated and intelligent, who are declaring what life is and what life isn't. We're seeing this. Who are basically just like Belshazzar here. Men and women today calling evil good and good is evil. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says this, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why you and I need a Savior. That's why we need to be filled with God's Spirit every day, because I know my heart and mind can go south in just a twinkling of an eye. How many know what I'm talking about? That's why we've got to ask for God's presence within our life each and every day, sometimes moment by moment, when we're in the heat of the battle with family, heat of the battle with work. God, help me, fill me, help me to walk in your Spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? Because we're in a war. Prepare thyself, my friends. The Bible says that before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a great shaking. Hebrews 12 and 25 and 29 says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It's shaken, folks. And if you can't see it, you need to wake up. Verse 29 of Hebrews 12 says, our God is an all-consuming fire. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul writes this. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will gather to meet him. Don't be easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim that they have seen a spiritual vision or a revelation or a letter supposedly from us. In other words, people say, well, Jesus is going to come back on such and such date. You know, like one of the politicians says, the world's going to end in 12 years. Yeah, it might end, but not the way you think, darling. You know, somebody needs to pray for her to get saved. So, but you know what? She might be, I don't know, she might be prophesying and not even know it. Just like those people were giving out the backpacks, didn't know that God was using them, blessing those people, right? They didn't know it. But see, oh, my friends, that's why we got to shake off our instant, and I'm speaking to myself, flesh, want to put somebody into the moon here. What are you saying about my Jesus? What? No, I need to pray for them, right? Yeah. Need to pray for them. Need to pray for them. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to pray for them. Yeah. So Paul says, verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2, he says, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day, now I want you to pay attention to this, because this is happening. What Greg Lowry wrote on that Twitter feed is happening right now. That day will not come until there is a great rebellion, or the King James, New King James says, a great falling away from the faith. A great falling away against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. Matthew 24, very quickly, because I'm going to leave you with four things to prepare for this morning. Four things. Matthew 24, Jesus writes in verse 4, Matthew writes, Jesus said in verse 4, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. Anytime you read the word many, it always means majority. Always. It'll be the majority. In Matthew 5, Jesus talks about the road to destruction and the road to life. One is broad, and he says many will go thereby, meaning the majority. But the narrow road, he said, a few will find it. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those few. How about you? Come on. How many want your family members to be one of those few? Oh, Lord Jesus, your co-workers, one of those few. Oh, the folks on the streets of Detroit, because here it is, my friends. Come here, Phil. Come here, Tim. Come on, brother. Come on, Ronnie. Yeah, come on, follow me. Come on, grab arms. Come on, Dee. Come on, Dee. Amen. Oh, William, come on, brother. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, come on, young lady. Come on. Come on. Yep, you're going to help us. What is your name?
Maya.
Maya. All right, Maya. Hang on to Tim here. Amen. Yeah, hang on. Hang on. Yeah. Folks, I want you to illustrate something. This is the only thing we're taking to heaven right here. Souls. Let me ask you, how long's your train? How long's your train? How many people you got on the train with you? This is the only thing I'm taking to heaven. I'm not taking my, of course, I don't have one, a 401k. What is that? I got a little something, but you can be seated. Give these guys a big hand. Amen. Not taking that. The only thing we're taking is souls. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm taking souls with me. And so Jesus said, they will deceive many. There will be wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Don't get all freaked out. We're seeing that today. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nations will go to war against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. It's ethnic groups against ethnic groups. Are we not seeing this? There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Are we not seeing this? Of course, many will say, well, this has been going on for a long time. Absolutely. There's nothing new under the sun, except it's exponentially speeding up. Exponentially speeding up. And by the way, so is evil. So is evil. My gosh, I read in the news this week I don't even want to call them human, but they're human beings. Four of them, they got caught. Thank God for our law enforcement. But four of these human people had, I don't know how many precious children sucked into their chat room, these child molesters. And they were not just going to molest and rape these kids, they were going to burn them, put them in tanks, put them in those 55-gallon drums, dump gasoline on them after they were done with them, and light them on fire. Okay? This was in Western Michigan this week. Thank God the police found those guys. Talk about, listen, folks, we're living in this day. It's wake up and prepare thyself. I hate to say this stuff, but if somebody's, because we were talking yesterday, one of the brothers who went with us, about this whole abortion thing that they're pushing to take, to kill the baby coming out of the womb. See, nobody wants to talk about this, okay? But I'll tell you what, Pastor Tommy and I, I'm not ashamed. Somebody's got to speak. I want to be a Daniel. So, what about you? We just going to sit and go, oh, well. You know, there is a time for prayer, but there also, like Daniel's, a time to speak up. Because if we don't, the enemy's just going to keep pushing it. And who knows? They might say, you know what, Jill? You know, we don't want to really take care of you anymore with our health care. We're just going to let you die. This is what's happening, folks. But Jesus said, don't be alarmed. Hallelujah. Then you'll be arrested and persecuted and killed. Now that isn't actually happening yet, but it's coming. It's coming. Coming to America. It's happening all over the world. We watched this with our own eyes on CNN or whatever news when they were butchering those Christian brothers and sisters and cutting their heads off on the beaches of Libya and around, all over the Middle East, crucifying the children. I actually, and I have to say this, folks, because some of you, you don't even pay attention. Your heads are in the sand. But man, I watch a terrorist line up 12 boys. 12 boys! 8 years old. Eight years old. Boom, 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 boom. Just down. Why? Because they love Jesus. Now, we don't like to hear about this stuff. But folks, it's time to wake up and prepare thyself. Now, Jesus said you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. It's happening. You'll be hated all over the world because of me. And that's what's happening. Even in our own government today, they don't want to hear us Christians speaking up, say, man, that's not right. God said. They don't want to hear that. Listen, I don't care today. I really don't care if anybody's toes are getting stepped on. I don't care. Because we're in a spiritual war, Phil.
I know.
And meanwhile, I tell you, just in my travels, much of the body of Christ is, oh, let's go to church and have some fun. Let's go. Let's just go have, oh, wasn't it great? Well, didn't they serve great coffee today? It was just so wonderful. Just, oh, my gosh, man, oh, the worship leader, oh, my gosh, could she sing? Could he sing? Well, and we walk back and we go back into our worlds and we go, and we just, you know, we just don't get it. Jesus said, and many, verse 10, many, the majority, will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, he shall be saved. My friends, it's time to prepare thyself. It's no time to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You cannot live a divided life. Jesus said in Mark 3:25. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It's time to get junkyard dog serious about your relationship with Christ and what he has called you to do. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what is it that I'm called to do. I'll make it really simple for you. You are called to glorify God and make him known to others. However that fleshes out in your life, you got to figure that out. But you first got to glorify God, surrender your life to him, give him your all, and then make him known to others. In many circles, Jesus is the best kept secret. That's why I wasn't going to let that guy get away yesterday. And I knew, trying to, hey man, you're wrong, Jesus. And try to, I knew right away, I knew the spirit that was behind that. Man, we were going to get in a fist fight. I didn't want that to happen. That guy was just like, wasn't he Mark? He said, I'm an atheist, you know. And I just went, well, God's still using you, man. That's what's so cool about this. He's using you. Yeah. So I just made a funny out of it, you know. But I knew I was going to get Jesus in the game somewhere. Amen? It's time to be focused as a good soldier of Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 5. I remember years ago, and I shared this with the group yesterday. I remember years ago, my dad spent 37 years in the Army. I kind of followed his footsteps. I spent 13. But Jesus called me out of that army into his army. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, but my dad was a Green Beret at the time, and I was about 8, 9 years old. Now, never forget, he would disappear all the time, just gone for weeks at a time sometimes. Now, never forget, my mom, the toilet or something broke down. She's trying to get a hold of my dad, and the only place she knew to call was the company headquarters. So she called there, and my dad tells me this later, he's in line, he's got 70-pound rucksack, his parachute, weapons, all this stuff, standing in line to get on a C-119 cargo plane. They were being parachuted into somewhere around the world. They had no idea where they were going. And he called my mom, or he went to the phone. He said, Joan, he's, you know, back to the company headquarters with all of his gear on. If you've ever seen paratroopers, man, they got that 70-pound rucksack. They got their weapon. He said, Joan, I'm on, getting ready to get on a plane. I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know when I'll be back. You're going to have to find someone else to fix that for you. Love you. Bye. Took off. And that's the way many of our soldiers live today. Okay? But the point is, he had to stay focused on the mission. He had to stay focused. Elsewise, his buddies could die. He could die. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to stay focused as soldiers of Christ. Amen. So today I want to leave you very quickly four areas in which we need to prepare ourselves. Get ready to write. Here we go. They're real simple. Number one, prepare myself. Prepare myself. Spiritually, I got to get in the Word. Just like Ronnie was saying, I got to get in prayer. I got to get in the house of God with the family of God, whether it's on Sunday, Wednesday nights, life groups, women's groups, men's groups, youth group, doesn't matter. We got to be spiritually prepared. We have to prepare ourselves. And you know the tragedy of today, based on Barna Research Group, the average attendance that these people call themselves members of their church, members, Barna did a research with the millennials. They consider themselves to be committed to a church by attending 1.7 times a month. That is their commitment. I'm a regular church. I'm a regular goer. I go to church 1.7 times a month. Can you imagine our military going to training 1.7 times a month? And the rest of the time, we're just having a great time. We're enjoying ourselves. We're smoking and toking and enjoying whatever, right? Can you imagine our military operating in that kind of mindset? We're not the military, folks. We're the army of God. We're serving the King who shed his blood, gave his life for me. Man, how could I not want to serve God and be a part of the family of God? Prepare yourself. Prepare myself. Number two, prepare my family. You got to prepare my family. Listen, in your homes, talk up about Jesus. Listen, don't focus on all the negative stuff that happens in churches. Why? Because we're all human beings and you and I are goofy. We're goofy. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to drop the ball. We're going to offend people, right? Because we're people. If you're looking for a perfect church, man, you'll be looking the rest of your life. You're never going to find it. You're never going to find a perfect pastor. There's going to be things that I might say or Pastor Tommy might say that may just kind of rub you the wrong way. Hey, I say let it rub you and let it polish you. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's what I did last night. I got out. You know, I knew I was speaking with the adults today. So just like I used to do in the Army, man, I got my shoes out. And I can see that high shine on there, Tim. That's looking good. Amen. Praise God. Listen, let it rub you and let it polish you. That's why I love Pastor Tommy, hey, you know, and what this church stands for, okay? We may not have hundreds and hundreds, but I'll tell you what, they're coming, right? Yep. Right, Ronnie prophesied, they're coming because we're going to be real people, real, broken, born-again people. And that's what they're looking for out there. They want real. They don't want a show. They don't want to hear me quote 50 scriptures. They just want real. So I'm going to talk up about Jesus. I'm going to talk up about what God's doing. Listen, pray with your family. Compare what's happening in our world to Scripture. Talk about that in your family. Number three, prepare my church. Prepare my church. Now, the church just isn't us. It's the body of Christ, right? It's the family of God. It's people. And much of the family of God have wandered away from the fellowship with God, the Father, and brothers and sisters. And let me just clue you in. You cannot, I don't care who you are. I see pastors that do this, man. You cannot live this life. We're never called to walk it alone. We're called, just like I had that line of people with me, we're called to walk this thing with each other, with the family of God. When you feel isolated, that's the time to pick up the phone and call a friend. Call a brother or sister that will pray for you. Say, man, I need prayer. So we are to prepare the family. And number four, prepare others. Prepare others. Those who are outside the family of God. All of us here this morning are called to win souls. All of us, each and every one of you. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he who wins souls is wise. It's wise to win souls. So if you're not winning souls, you're not talking about your story, okay? If you're not telling people, then what does that make you? You conclude that, okay? But he who wins souls is wise. And so we need to look for openings and opportunities to share. Just yesterday, that was nothing special, but just with that atheist, I was able to squeeze God in there a little bit. Because who knows? There was a little seed that was dropped in. Who knows who's going to speak to this young man? Again, you know what? You need Jesus. You need God. Well, some guy on the street said God was using me, but I didn't. So who knows? But we are to prepare others who are outside the family of God. The last will and testament that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28 was to go into all the world and make disciples. And there's no greater time than right now. Right now, where darkness is encroaching upon us, we got to let our light shine even brighter. Come on, are you with me today? So as we close time, I'm going to do something different here, and we're going to just take a moment. But if you know you are in an arena in your life that you need to get prepared, and you want to stand before the King this morning. See, let me just say something. If you can't stand in here with people who love you and care for you, you're not going to be able to stand out there. I can guarantee you that. So if you're here today, you say, Pastor Mark, I want to stand. I want to prepare myself for how God can use me. I want you to come on up to the front here. We're going to pray together corporately as a church today. Come on. I'm standing here. I need it. I need it. Maybe more so than some of you here today. It's time to prepare yourself, folks. Prepare yourself. Don't worry about your neighbor. Prepare myself. It's about me. It's about what Jesus wants to do in me and through me. I love what Jeff shared earlier about paying this building off. It's so simple. We pay the building off, we got money to do stuff with more people out there. Amen. It's that simple. We get this building paid off, we can help more people. That's what it's about. So you're here this morning and you say, only you know, where it is that you need to prepare yourself. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ in your life. Let me tell you, you're not guaranteed you have tomorrow. None of us are. And we only get one shot at this. One shot. You don't get a second chance. After we're dead and gone, you don't get a second chance. It's over with, Jack. God loves you this much to tell you the truth today that now's the time. Now's the time to prepare yourself. So let's just bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, you see us before you this morning. God, there's areas in our life that we've left kind of hanging out there, Lord, kind of not taken care of. Lord, we're asking you to help us to prepare ourselves in that area of our life, Father God. Most importantly, Lord, maybe it's today that I need to make you Lord over my life. I need to invite you in, Lord, because I've been trying to do this thing on my own, but it's just not working for me. And I need your presence within my life. And maybe that's you today. If it's you, just slip your hand up real quick. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Yes, yes. Yeah, you see, come on. Yeah, absolutely. Nothing to be ashamed about. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, then my Father's going to be ashamed of you. Amen. So, Father, right now, you've located us. You've located our hearts. And, Lord, I ask right now, let's just all pray this together. Father God, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life. Fill my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for missing the mark. Forgive me for not preparing in areas of my life. But I'm asking you, Lord, to shower grace and mercy and love upon me today. I thank you, Lord. I call you Lord. I call you Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Listen, these points today, in some cases, are warnings to those of you here today. They're warnings. God's warning you. Just like he warned Belshazzar. Belshazzar would not listen. Daniel came with the word of the Lord. Belshazzar just went, I can do this thing on my own, man. I can do whatever I want. He didn't make it to the next night. Okay? I'm not saying that about you today. I'm just saying. You might not have another chance. So let's do it right. Amen? And listen, let's give grace where we stumble and fall. That's what I love about Jesus. You know, the woman at the well, the woman who was caught in adultery, he wrote on the ground there and stood up and said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" "They're not here, Lord." "I don't accuse you either, but go and sin no more." See, no condemnation. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we just stand in agreement again for healing our pastor, Lord, doing a miracle in his life today. Lord, you're doing a miracle in our lives today. And we thank you and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand today. He's worthy.